We turn this morning to James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. James 4, 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Father, this morning we thank you for a text that upon first reading might cause us to think, your people don't need to hear this, but surely we do, as the Spirit of God knows, as James, the half-brother of our Lord, surely knew, that so often as we interact with each other in the family of Christ, that by bad judgment, we say things that bind people, freeze people, rather than free people and grant grace and liberty to others. As those that have received much from thy good hand, help us that we might extend good, even communicationally good, to others. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Our blessed Lord said that in response to those emboldened and hyperbolic brothers, James and John, at their suggestion that judgment fire would fall from heaven upon the whole village of the Samaritans that rejected the Lord as he neared Jerusalem for the final time. Luke 9. I reference our Lord's statement to his disciples as we begin because we hear in this text the other James, the brother to our Lord, who says in this passage under study more about the believer's spirit, attitude, motivation, than it is really about the believer's speech. I know the command is, speak not. But I'm saying to you that upon careful thought and study, this has ever been as much to do about your spirit, your internal attitude towards God and others, then it has to do with your words, although obviously what's in you comes out of you. We would also like to place before you this morning that which the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. Paul said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Galatians 6. Believers who are actively walking with God as governed by the Word and the Holy Spirit are the only ones rightly prepared to advise and to assist the sinfully fallen. James 4, 11 and 12 is as much about walking with the Lord as it is about righteous communication. We're not talking about pulpit speech here, although it applies. We're talking about speech in the pew, speech in the foyer, speech in the parking lot, speech in the ebb and flow of life, believer to believer. We're not talking about your words to the world. We're not talking about your words to the unsaved. We're talking about your words to me and my words to you, our words to each other. Impatient criticism, self-serving slander, deliberate false witness have no place whatsoever in the life of God's local church family. None of us can afford to give an unsanctified piece of our minds away to or about another child of God. One more thing by introduction. We want to specifically recall this morning, in light of what James says here, to recall the thing that God said to Job's friends who judged him falsely and needed Job's forgiveness and prayer. Take a quick look back, Job 42, 7 to 9. Job 42, 7 to 9. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourself as a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted, or was pleased, with Job. Father, thank you for this opportunity this morning as we pray a second time after reading the text in Job, because it really refines exactly what we're talking about, exactly what James had in mind in this little section of his letter. And so again, we ask for your help as we work our way through it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. James wanted first century believers to know of the serious matter of falsely judging one another based upon what you see, and judging thereby unrighteously. This issue was addressed by James previously in this letter, it is now once again. Be careful how you speak to and you speak of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Our text easily unfolds if we simply ask one question. Here it is. What is the big deal about foolish criticism and slander? It's called evil communication or evil speech in the command of verse 11. But what's the big deal? That's the question. Here's the answer from the Word of God. Number one, foolish criticism and slander violates the truth, because the truth is either not known or, worse, ignored. In the case of Job's friends, I would not be able to charge them with ignoring the truth. But they certainly were ignorant of the truth. And they did not allow in their own spirit, they did not allow for the possibility that they were not seeing Job correctly. This is logically why James commands Christians not to speak evil. Verse 11. People often talk, we're not just talking about people in the large, we're talking about Christians. Christians often talk as if they know, when in fact, they don't know. It is foolish to speak before the facts are known. When you ask why it is that people speak before they know, it really gets kind of dicey. Putting others in a bad light usually has something to do with one's pride. Putting others in a bad light usually has something to do with self-promotion or one's personal agenda. It is possible, and sadly true, at times among the family of God, that truth is deliberately ignored. I would not publicly speak of a case of it. But there are times when the truth is deliberately ignored by an individual, especially when they want to go their own way and not the way in which the Scripture clearly delineates. Some of the greatest examples of nepotism, some of the greatest examples of natural-based promotion are found in local churches like ours. Some pastor's son becomes the youth pastor for no greater reason than that he is the pastor's son. The sin of some person is overlooked because of their relation to church leadership or because they give a lot of money to the church. These things happen. And I suppose we could call them a form of reverse slander in that the false word spoken may not pull down, but falsely build up. Nonetheless, it is all evil speaking. And the command is, speak not evil one of another. Brethren, not talking to your neighbor. It's talking to your fellow believer in the pew. Secondly, foolish criticism and slander violates the sanctity of family relations. Note the words brethren, brother, and brother. We have here clear responsibility that speak words to build up the family of God righteously. We are not called to just talk positively one to another, but we are called to talk truthfully and lovingly one to another. Jesus commands us to make righteous judgments. And our speaking ought to be based upon righteous judgments. And the only righteous judgment that you indeed have capacity to know it all in truth is right here. And if what you're thinking to say does not perfectly align with the stated statements of the Word of God, then keep thy mouth shut, would be the best advice. Even if you have righteous burrs in your saddle with your brother or your sister, you are encouraged and demanded of the Lord to speak to them courteously and well-intentioned, making yourself well-known as to your intention. Number three, foolish criticism and slander violates the New Testament law of Christ. It says, speak not evil one to another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. foolish criticism and slander violates the New Testament law of Christ, the essence of the law of God, as James speaks of it here, is love God and your neighbor as yourself. False criticism and slander violates this summary of the law of God. James dealt with this same concept earlier in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, when addressing the sin of partiality. So whether you call it the royal law according to the scripture, or whether you call it the law of Christ, as did Paul in Galatians, the point is that by false criticism and slander, a believer acts as if he actually knows better than the conclusions of the scripture. And according to what James says at the end of verse 11, that believer removes himself from being a doer of the word. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You remember that verse from back in James earlier? Well, here's a way that you can remove yourself from being an active doer of the word of God. And that is by opening your mouth to criticize a fellow believer when you may not know. And if you are going to raise an issue, then you better have the Bible verse in your hand. Or keepeth thy mouth shut. Evil speaking like this, James says, is serious stuff. Number 4, verse 12. Foolish criticism and slander violates the Creator and the faithful communication of himself to man. Verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Here, let me tell you something about your pastor. My words do not save, my words do not destroy. Let me tell you something about every member of this church. Their words do not save, their words do not destroy. Let me tell you something about God. His word alone saves, his word alone destroys. There's only one who knows the heart of another. And one of the lessons coming out of the book of James ought to be, wow, it's easy to think you see what you're seeing, and what's happening is what you think is happening, when it's just not the case at all. Foolish criticism and slander does not just violate the law of God, it violates the lawgiver, who is God. It violates God. It takes upon yourself what God has purposed alone to do. Evil speaking is rebellion against God. And I would never think to say this in any other generation and at any other time in my ministry, but I will say it now. And so what does that have to do with very frank pulpit speech? Nothing, as long as what is being said is absolutely thought out, prayed over, and brought to you by the word written. Preachers should not be shy when the word of God is on their side. But they ought to shut their mouths concerning their personal opinions. And so should. God alone knows the hearts of men. God alone knows the hearts of women. He alone saves the trusting hearted. You can say, I don't know why God wouldn't save so-and-so. I don't know why God wouldn't save so-and-so. You can say it a million times. You don't know. You don't know. What you think you know, you don't know. That's why I said at the beginning, your problems really are not about speech. It's about your spirit. It's really not about speech. It's about the condition of the heart that is required, a spiritual posture in life, in order to be of help to another believer. Or frankly, you're no help at all. So says the word of God. He alone saves the trusting hearted and condemns the unbeliever. Heaven will be somewhat surprising to us, not only as to who is there and who isn't, but as to who is greatly rewarded and who is rewarded not at all. You will be surprised as to some that are there. And you and I will be surprised as to some who are greatly rewarded because that is not always evident on earth before the eyes of men. Knowing with certainty the eternal condition of another person's soul is above my pay grade. It's above your pay grade. The case of Judas ought to humble us as to our certainty of another's righteousness, as well as should the case of Job. I remind you that in the upper room, John had some thoughts that it could be Peter, but probably it was himself, John. Peter had the thought, it might have been Jude, but probably was himself. There was indeed thoughts among the disciples as to the fact that the one that would disappoint the Lord might be this one or that one, but there's no indication that any of the disciples had Judas on their mind. He so lived externally in a way that none of them had thought of Judas. And yet when Judas said to the Lord, "Lord, is it I?" Jesus said, "Well, you just said it, didn't you?" Okay, so Judas ought to humble us as to our certainty of another, as well as should the case of Old Testament Job is read. God knows when we speak and act as if we know another person's soul, and when we speak and act as if we know things that we don't know, the Bible says that God is offended. God is bothered by that. Foolish criticism and slander violates the Creator and the faithful communication of Himself to man. Number 5, foolish criticism and slander violates one's own self. The Scripture says it, "Who art thou that judgest another?" I would add the word believer. Who do you think you are? Judging another believer. Whenever you or I speak of another without all the facts, or when ignoring the facts, we put ourselves on a self-destructive path. Paul places the idea of speaking the truth in love in contrast to a childish life being tossed to and fro, up and down and up and down with every wind of doctrine. Children oftentimes have difficulty discerning between fantasy and reality. Children oftentimes are known to make things up, which we would call lying. Children tend to turn every game of old maid into a worldwide championship. Children often do not believe what their God-given authorities say to them. Children often choose to believe something that their God-given authorities did not say to them. Now, if you think I'm just railing on children, I'm not. I'm railing on the hallmarks of childishness. And childishness is an issue for a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and I even know a 100-year-old. Childishness in a believer causes them to think and to say things untrue. Childishness in a believer causes them to think and to say things that are true, but not the whole truth. And on that basis, they become untrue. Nothing, James says here, takes away the important matter of local church discipline to be exercised against those living in open sin and righteously exposed to the whole church family after attempts to lovingly confront and make peace. In this day, the local church suffers as much for a lack of its own discipline as it suffers for evil speaking. James is right to raise the issue of communicational correctness in practice for the whole of the local church family, because it was something that he pastorally could see among the scattered flock to which he would minister. And so James says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" The thought here is that the children of God should never speak evilly to or about another child of God. Rather, we should be committed to speak easy. The standard is not speak evilly, but speak easy. And as those two words popped up in my brain, as I thought about this particular text, I was reminded that the term speakeasy had a use in American history concerning the secret bar or nightclub operating in the era of Prohibition. Bartenders illegally serving booze would encourage their illegal guest to speak easy, so as to not draw the attention of the police. If you're going to have a clandestine meeting for nefarious purposes, you might want to learn how to whisper. You might want to learn how to speak easy. And so often was the godless bartender encouraging his illegal patrons to speak easy, speak easy, speak easy, that the places became known as speakeasies. Speakeasies. Isn't that something? Now before us, the Lord's servant James, who is indeed before the bar of God, encourages believers to speak easy in a very sanctified sense and sort. He is not concerned about volume. He would not that we should whisper. He is concerned that our speech would be one to another kindly, truthful, loving, forgiving. In the Bible, that would be the words that we would place under the umbrella of speakeasy. Kind words, truthful words, loving words, forgiving words. Speakeasy. Is your speech one to another in the family of Christ speakeasy. That would be the thought. And since we have the time this morning, flip with me just back a few pages in your New Testament to the book of Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians. Chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 24. Paul said to the believers at Ephesus, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You, as a believer, were created by God in actual righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, and true holiness, the holiness of Christ. You were born again in righteousness and true holiness. On that basis, you can be taught that you are positionally right before God, and that you have the right to say of yourself, saint. I am a saint of God by nature of new birth. 25. Wherefore, put away lying. Duh. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Is it talking about your godless neighbor? No, it's talking about your Christian neighbor. Talking about your fellow person in the pew. For we are members one of another. That's not true of either one of my neighbors next door to the parsonage. They are not a member with me. I am not a member with them. They don't know the Lord. But that is true of my relationship with you, and it's true of your relationship with me. And then the scripture says, be ye angry. That's a command. A lot of Christians don't know they're supposed to be angry. You should be angry when there's unrighteousness flaunted before you. But watch this. Be angry and sin not. I don't pray that prayer every day, but I'd pray it, I would say, at least once a week. Lord, help me to be angry and sin not. It's no sin to be angry, but you don't want to be angry and sin. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place, space, room to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. All God's children are to be workers. It's amazing that you would have things to be done in a local church for which there's nobody to do it, when all God's people are to be workers and to labor with their own hands. And this particular verse, dedicated towards their financial posterity, so that they can not only be a worker, but a generous one, who shares out of their fruit to the blessing of others. Verse 29, more to the point of James. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I got to tell you about what happened to me at a Faith Baptist Bible College. We had a weekend at the college at Faith out in Ankeny. The students, for whatever reason, they were particularly out of line. I mean, they were just like off the hook. They were particularly out of line. We had a number of incidents that particular weekend, both Friday night and Saturday night. My sleep as the dean of students was interrupted in the middle of the night, not once, but two or three times, as my resident advisors in the dorm called me to deal with something happening in the dorm. And chapels on Monday were my chapels. So I decided that before I preached, as I always did, that I would address the student body as to what happened the last weekend, and that there would be no more of that. And when I finished my admonition, my exhortation to the student body, I went on to preach my sermon. By the time I got back to my office, somebody had stuck in my office mail slot Ephesians 4:29 A. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I'll tell you what I did with that. I was angry, but I sinned not. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What would I say about, I'll take a guess and say, a student, but now that I think about it, it could have been a faculty member. It might have been a fellow administrator. I don't know. But what would I say about that student, about that administrator, about that faculty member? They were no longer a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. They took the Word of God and they brought it to my attention when I had a specific role and a specific responsibility and had prayed over words to present, and they made their judgment and spoke evilly to me. And it was easy for me to be angry and sin not. But if that student or if that faculty member or if that administrator went on to speak to others, well then, that would be a complication and a compounding of the sin in their soul concerning the things that were said based upon the standards of the Word of God. So, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What a blessing to be taught of God. Oh, Father, thank you for the clear instruction of your word. Help us as believers to hear and to do accordingly. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.